This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. The Lower Kuskokwim School District Board has begun its search for a new superintendent. At last week's special board meeting, the board voted to contract the Association of Alaska School Boards to recruit candidates for the position. Board President Clarence Daniels says they plan to interview candidates over the winter and hire someone by March. This will be Dan Walker's last year as superintendent. He started his career in the district as a teacher in Quinnahock.
We have a long history of promoting teachers to principals. It's what I did. And LKSD has a pretty strong history of promoting from within at the superintendent level.
Walker says it's essential for an LKSD superintendent to understand that the Yupik language and culture is essential to learning in the classroom. He says what has helped him most in his role is really knowing community members.
So I'm able to pick up the phone, or they're able to pick up the phone and visit with me about things that are happening in their communities that I may be able to help change.
Walker encourages the school board to choose a homegrown candidate if one applies. The board plans to talk about what qualities they want its next superintendent to have at its next meeting on November 21st. Next, in alcohol. Bethel's vote for local option alcohol control means that the only liquor store in town, Caribou Traders, is closing. KYUK spoke with Caribou Traders general manager about what he's going to do. General manager Todd Perez says the plan for Caribou Traders is pretty simple.
We'll cease operation per the state on January 6th. And so at that point, we'll convert this into a different type of business.
He says the liquor store might be turned into housing or retail space or maybe even a restaurant. But the original plan was for Perez to buy the liquor store. He currently just manages it.
We were going through a purchase or acquisition, but with that vote, it just basically, we just continue to operate as a general manager, as a management company.
Cusco Liquor also planned to transfer its liquor license to AC, but that transfer will become void as well. With Caribou Traders closing, the city of Bethel will lose some of its tax revenue. In the fiscal year 2020 budget, the city projected it would receive $500,000 in alcohol sales tax. Perez says that estimate was low.
For year 2019, we were anticipating somewhere around the $900,000 mark that we'd be contributing in alcohol tax that's paid to the city of Bethel.
Acting city manager Bill Howell says the city administration is usually conservative in its revenue projections. Some Bethel residents may be curious if there will be any going out of business sale.
As we get closer, there will be some price reductions on certain product lines. And obviously, we need to get rid of the product at the end.
But Perez says people shouldn't expect huge discounts. And he has some final words as general manager of Caribou Traders.
I'll be honest with you, I'd just like to say thank you for, you know, the last year's support and so forth. And people vote. That's the reason why, you know, that's the democratic way. And so we honor that, you know, whatever it is, it is.
Perez says he'll still be in Bethel. He recently bought Q2 on Chief Eddie Hoffman Highway, and he says he's converting the old laundromat there into a restaurant. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim. And finally, it was on its way to extinction till Yupik elders revived it. It's a baby parka, sewed with bird skin from the coastal village of Tuxuk Bay, the first one of its kind made in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta in the past 80 years. KYUK's Christy Schellenberger reports it may find a permanent home in Bethel.
All right, so Anne, what am I looking at? Can you show me what's in that bag?
Okay, inside the bag is an atasok, a baby one piece, an infant one piece that we made it. I'm going to open it up and unwrap it.
Anne Fina Bearden is unrolling a package wrapped in muslin. She's an anthropologist who has documented Yupik life in Western Alaska for decades. Inside, the baby parka is roughly 2 feet long, just big enough to fit a 9-pound baby. It's made of bird skin, rough brown leather on the outside, and feathers peeking out of its collar and hood on the inside.
And it's made out of two gangahlak skins, two king eider skins, and four ashkia, which are long-tailed ducks.
And this now rare object used to be common in Yupik communities, where every child started life surrounded by bird skin and cuddled in feathers. There are elders alive today who, as infants, were snuggled in birdskin parkas. But over generations, the tradition disappeared as cloth diapers and commercial baby clothes became more easily available at local stores. Making this parka and reviving the almost extinct tradition took the efforts of many people. It began with the memories of an elder, Albertina Dahl, from Nightmute, who began her life in a birdskin parka made by her mother, and later, decades ago, used it for her own children. To make a new one, a hunter in Chifornik, a nearby coastal village, sent over some of the skins, and the rest came from Tuksuk Bay. Reardon says the idea of making the traditional birdskin parka arose during an education collaboration between Chilista, the regional native corporation, and Yupik elders. That's when Dole remembered the baby parkas from her childhood. She says the parka was easy to make. She says Yupik people never throw anything away, including bird skins. There was one problem. At 101 years old with poor eyesight, Albertina couldn't sew the baby parka that she saw so clearly in her memories. But she could teach people how to do it, and that's how Anne and the others started making this parka.
She could describe it, and we'd never seen one. We thought, well, maybe we could make one. So last spring, we got the skins and began to learn how to work on the skins.
They scraped the fat off the skins. They washed them with Blue Dawn soap before hanging the skins to dry. And then to soften the skins, they rubbed them in a circular motion. All this, Albertina told them to do by memory.
For instance, when you're scraping the skins, the way she described it is you hold it, the skin, and then you scrape towards the head and then move gradually down the body, but always in the direction of the head. Now, if you just picked up a skin that was greasy, you wouldn't know that, but she knew that.
The next step was sewing. A couple of women in Tuksuk Bay went to work, following Albertina's instructions. The result is a tiny parka worn by a baby until it starts crawling. The tan skin faces the outside, and the feathers line the inside to keep the infant warm. Blue cloth is stitched around the armholes and the opening in the crotch area, and pink ribbons tie the hood together. Reardon thinks it may be the first such parka made in Western Alaska in nearly 80 years. But the woman in Tuksuk Bay planned to make more.
Well, our joke is we should have a BYOB party. Bring your own bird.
Albertina says the more parkas made, the better they'll look. She says the first ones are rough, but they improve when you make more. It's unclear where this, the first birdskin baby parka in almost a century, will find a home. Reardon hopes that home will be in Bethel. Reporting in Bethel, I'm Christy Schallenberger.
Thank you for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news tips to news@kyuk.org. And stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up next.